And so on this Memorial Day, I never really knew this, so I share this. I'm assuming because I seem to be like everyone else. Do you know the reasons why they fold the flag after they go through a service? And you know that they do it 13 times? I never really counted. And actually, 13 is a significant number. When I first heard it was 13, I thought, well, maybe it's representative of the original colonies or something. No. Each one has a meaning. And so let me just tell you what they are, because it's quite interesting that I didn't really realize the significance, because they do it meticulously. You know, I just thought it was something. And then they hand it over to the parents or their loved ones. The first fold of the flag is a symbol of life. The second fold is a symbol of the belief in eternal life. The third fold is made in honor and remembrance of the veterans departing the ranks who gave a portion of their lives for the defense of the country to attain peace throughout the world. The fourth fold represents the weaker nature, for as American citizens trusting in God, it is to God we turn in times of peace as well as in times of war for God's divine guidance. The fifth fold is a tribute to the country, for in the words of Stephen Decatur, our country is dealing with other countries. May she always be right, but it is still our country, right or wrong. The sixth fold is for where people's hearts lie. It is with their heart that they pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice of all. The seventh fold, what is a tribute to the armed forces, for it is through the armed forces that they protect this country and the flag against her enemies, whether they be found within or without the boundaries of their republic. The eighth fold is the tribute to the one who enters into the valley of the shadows of death, which we might see the light of day. The ninth fold is a tribute to womanhood and mothers, for it has been through their faith, their love, loyalty, and devotion that the character of the men and women who have made this country great has been molded. The tenth fold is a tribute to the father, for he too has given his sons and daughters for the defense of their country since they were first born. The 11th fold, it is the lower portion of the seal of the King David and King Solomon, and glorifies in the Hebrews' eyes the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The 12th represents an emblem of eternity and glories in Christian eyes, God and Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lastly, the 13th fold, when the flag is completely folded, the stars are utmost, reminding them of the nation's motto, "In God we trust." I found that fascinating. I didn't realize that with each and every fold had its own beautiful meaning as a part of it. This day, I think, has such meaning to everyone. I know that when I was young, yes, I went to the grave sites of the blood veterans, but I also went through the grave sites of all of my family. It was the day of visiting of the dead for me. It was a family tradition that my grandmother honored until her passing. And by that time, I was old and somewhere else. I actually kind of missed that because at that time in my life, it was a time where all my family kind of came together, not only the living, yet the dead. And so as you move through this day, I also want you to know that just as life is divine, so is our losses. Whether they're military losses or losses of our loved one. Because each, in its own right, still is divine. And even through death, there is still life. For they are one and the same, opposite sides of the coin. And just like taking of your breath, the in and the out, it is still your breath. It's a coming together and enfolding and embracing, and it is a release. And in that bringing in and that allowing to come out, that one coin still is the coin of life. And I know so many of us really think of death in conflicting ways. I know I've always grown up thinking that, wow, I'm not scared of death, but I know that I'm kind of terrified of dying, i.e. the way in which I die, but how could I not be terrified of death? Well, actually, that was kind of marked at one point in time. I want to tell you a story of my beginnings as a Buddhist monk. I was with my teacher, most venerable Shinyananda Dharma. And as a part of it, we used to walk in a park surrounded by life and water. And we would just leisurely talk. And one of my first lessons almost took me out of Buddhism immediately. And that lesson is that you face anything and everything knowing that there's an ending to it. Knowing that some part of life always involves death. Now, as you know, because I'm standing here, I'm a Unity minister. Every part of that bucked my system. And I, if you don't know me by now, you will. I'm a little rebellious, even with authority figures. Here was this young person. Now, I think you all know that I dreamed of myself, if ever I was going to go into the monkhood or something, that I would go into some grand temple like Kung Fu. That was my upbringing. I had the television. And it would be some wise, elderly Asian person who would teach me the truth of life. And it wasn't how it went. I was the person of color and of age in front of this 21-year-old monk, Caucasian guy with glasses. I swear his voice still squeaked. And here was this monk telling me, one who has lived life double of his life, that I must go forward embracing an end to everything. That went against all of my Unity thinking, because as a Unity person, of course, I still preach it, I still teach it, that you go into any environment, any situation with a positive attitude, positively knowing that God is good and that all is well. This really went against it, because what I heard him saying is that you go into any situation knowing that that's an end. That's a negative to me. You mean I'm going to go into a relationship automatically knowing that it's going to cease or stop? He said, yes. What? I'm going to go into a new job knowing that at some point in time that that's going to end? Yes, he says. What? Are you crazy? No. He tells me, for this is your way to liberation. This is your way to liberation. For me at that time, it really counteracted what everything I knew in life. It said that no, for me, I heard you go into a scenario expecting it to end in a horrible way. Yet, that isn't what he was saying. What he was saying was that to be able to go in knowing the truth, yes, will set you free. How will it set you free? Because most of us go in and react to life scared of death, i.e. scared of ending of any sort. We move through our life hoping and plotting and moving forward, trying to do anything but to accept an ending. We stress over it. We worry about it. And we do so much thinking about how we can change a future that we know nothing about, that we don't live here in the present moment. We do everything worried about how our life can shift or how miserable our life might be if it isn't ending. And yet, we don't move and have our being in the midst of right here, right now. It is interesting that we have such a thought about a beginning of life and an ending of life that we really don't capture and appreciate the fullness of life. In many ways, that there's a story that I happened upon called The Dash, and I'm going to start using this for every, and someone said, you know it. I'm going to make it a smaller sense about The Dash. There's a man standing to speak at the funeral of his friend, referred to the dates of the beginning and the end of her life. And as he spoke, he choked up. But he said, yes, the birth of her and the death of her are meaningful, but what is most meaningful is the dash in between. The life that she has lived, because that life does represent, that small little dash represents the fullness of her life. And isn't it interesting that in a birth or in a death, we don't remember that dash. And the beauty, if you so choose to allow it to be beautiful, of that death is the remembrance of a life well lived. And allow yourself that as you are mourning the death of a friend, of a loved one, of a parent, praise and think about their life. And most importantly, as you think of them, start looking at your life. How are you living your life greatly? How much are you in fear of your mortality? So much so that you are doing things in hopes that you can change a future that we know nothing about. My beloved, it's the best way, and the lesson of the story from most venerable Dharma, and the way that going into something, realizing the truth of it, that it will end, is the sure fact that you can then be liberated and not trying to figure things out in the present moment. You don't need to live in fear, because as you live in this now moment, which is the only moment, this now moment, then whatever you fear will be taken care of, because you're concentrating on the things that you need to do within this moment of the dash. No longer trying to manipulate the world, trying to counteract, trying to make up stories about a situation in fear of an inevitable ending. Once you move in front and go, there's an inevitable ending, I'm just going to release and let it go. I am going to allow myself just to move within this moment, appreciate this moment, concentrate only on the things that need to happen in this moment, be guided only by what needs to happen in this time, in the space of life. This moment is all we have. Now, I will let you know that there's a reason why we're scared of death. It's interesting how religion, especially Christianity, swings both ways about death. On one hand, we should fear it, Fear the darkness. On the other hand, it talks about eternal life. Don't fear. I'm going to stick with eternal life. Don't fear. Even Charles Fillmore says there's no reason for any of us to die. Charles Fillmore says that it is a sin to die of the body. Honestly, 99.5% of Charles Fillmore, I believe. I still am not sure about this one. Maybe it's my lack of consciousness. But I will give you a quote that I truly do believe in. Knowing that spirit, soul, and body are all necessary to man, and that he cannot truly be said to live except in the conscious union and expression, the error of believing that death is the open door to a higher life, the gateway to heaven, is easily seen. I.e., Charles Fillmore is saying that you don't have to die to get to God. You don't have to die to get to a heaven. That right here, right now, within this present moment, within your dash, heaven can be. I do truly believe that. That we don't have to release our body fully to do it. Heaven, though, comes definitely if you do release. But didn't you just say that you didn't need to release, Crystal? Yes, but life at this present moment, whether you look at the stars and how there are galaxies and universes dying and living, as we tell our bodies are dying and living every moment of every day. Life is circular. And once you die, there is always life. In this world, we truly believe that eternal life isn't necessarily that you die of the body and you go off into a heaven. That eternal life can be lived right here, right now. Now, Charles Fillmore, I will tell you if you look it up, he is believing that eternal life is here in the body. Purely in the body. He does believe in the Bible that you can be hundreds of years old and maintain that body. I, too, have heard of people who have lived hundreds of years. They're shamans, supposedly, in indigenous lands who live for hundreds of years. That may or may not be true, but what I'm saying to you right here, right now, is to have the ability to release and let go, having faith that whatever you're releasing and letting go, new birth happens. For every time there is a deconstruction, something is constructed. With every inhalation, there is an exhale. With everything, there is a cycle of birth. Death, rebirth, death, life, and death are a part of the same coin. So long as you continue to move with it and release and let go of your fears of any sort of ending and allow life just to propel you forward, however that happens. And so as you go through this Memorial Day, I invite you to be able to release and let go. Not the memories of your loved one, but any fears of their mortality or where they might have gone. I still, even in Unity, hear people saying, I'm not sure if they went to heaven or hell. Heaven and hell are here, within our consciousness. Some people might say that we're living in a hell right now. Our world continues to war. But even in this state, we can release and let go and allow a new heaven to manifest. Allow eternal life of releasing and letting go to allow new life to fill any void once we release, to be filled with joy, peace, and happiness. That is our choice. So as you move forward on this Memorial Day, as you say your hellos and your goodbyes to your dear departed, remember that right here, right now, you are still living. Take away your fears of the death and choose to be in that dash. And choose your way how you're going to live in that dash. Are you going to live in that dash in the fear, or are you going to live in the dash releasing and letting go of anything that needs to be shed off so that new skin arises? Are you going to release and let go of anything that is pulling you down so that you can rise up. My beloved, the end isn't necessarily the end as we know it at all. I invite you to know that the end is only life reaffirming itself, rehatching itself, and allowing it to come anew. And with that, within your bulletins, there is an affirmation that I invite you to take within yourself. I have a fearless and joyous attitude about the cycle of life. Let's say that two more times. I have a fearless and joyous attitude about the cycle of life. Breathe that in. I have a fearless and joyous attitude about the cycle of life. Namaste. Amen.